Hello, this is Gabe Knuth, and I'm walking around the Citrix Technology Lab with Brian Madden at Citrix iForum in Edinburgh, Scotland. Today, Citrix announced several new bits of information about Citrix Edge Site, and we're going to speak to some members of the Citrix Edge Site team right now.
So I'm walking through the tech lab, and I'm walking up to Citrix Edge Site for load testing, and I've grabbed Ben Younger. So Ben, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
You're welcome.
Ben, are you a thin genius?
I'm not so thin. Hopefully I'm reasonably clever.
So, I asked, Citrix bought a company, it's been a while now, five, 6 months ago?
In March is when the acquisition went through. So it's been 3 months working for Citrix. It's all been very entertaining.
And so Citrix buys a company called Thin Genius. Thin Genius has a product called T-Load. T-Load is now, that Citrix bought them, called Citrix Edge Site for Load Testing. I don't know anything about this product, so Fill me in.
Well, basically, it's a tool that you can use to create a synthetic load against your Citrix infrastructure. So the idea is you kind of record a number of business cases or transactions, and it's all done at the client side, so there's no server install or anything like that. And what you're aiming to do is to replay this bunch of virtual synthetic users to get an idea of what your users' experience of the system is, so that when you actually start to generate a synthetic load against a system, you can start telling where the kind of cracks are appearing in your applications. And because T-Load basically tracks every step of every transaction that you're doing, it can basically uncover the points that aren't scaling well when you're targeting with your infrastructure with more than it can cope with.
All right, so there's a lot that you just described there, so let's kind of break that down and go through the steps. Firstly, in any software that is used to test load, you have to build some scripts or something to actually run in an automatic way, unless you have access to 500 interns who you can tell them to click away all night long. Now, you said in your case you can record that, because one of the things I found, a lot of these things, these load tools are cool, but you have to use some kind of WinBatch or some kind of scripting or AutoIt or whatever to do that. So how does this work within the Edge Sites for load testing product?
Basically, you can just record it. You push the record button and it builds up a script. And what it does is it figures out what you clicked on, what you interacted with, and inserts these synchronization points into your script so that when it replays, which of course the system's going to slow down, it makes sure that your keyboard and mouse input doesn't get targeted to application windows before they have appeared. And what we do is basically we sit at the client end and we can monitor the window information that's coming up through the ICA stream. And we can also monitor the keyboard and mouse input. And we can make kind of intelligent decisions as to what the user is waiting for before they click. And we just compile that into the form of a script and present it visually to the user so that they can pretty much go ahead there and just replay it straight away.
Now, during the replay, does that actually happen from the client side also?
Yes, it's all entirely from the client side.
So that's huge.
It's a great way to do it because there are two reasons you don't really want to mess with the server. Firstly, it really annoys sysadmins because they don't like you putting stuff on their server.
And I can't imagine that they would like you throwing 5,000 clients at it either,
that's another
conversation.
Story. And the other reason is that if you put something on the server, it'll use up maybe 4 megabytes per process or something like that. So every session, you've got a bit of a memory hit. Also, there's all sorts of hooks and things underneath the system that are slowing it down. So that's another reason you really want to do it, because you're going to mess with the thing that you're testing.
Well, and I guess also, how about client bandwidth, right? If your simulation is running as scripts within your sessions, there's no latency or bandwidth issues to deal with. But in real life, if you want to test what the actual experience will be, if you have 100, 200 users on a server, you want to know how the users can interact with it, including the bandwidth.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And what you do by monitoring stuff at the client is you get the real end-user experience. So if there's a great big sort of slowness in your system because of some latency, then that's going to become apparent in the load test, and you're going to see that for every step. So if someone opens a window and it actually takes a couple of seconds to go down the wire, that measurement is going to be reflected in the test.
This also means, I guess, that you can use this Edge Site for load testing not just to stress test your servers, but if you want to use WANscaler and see what WANscaler kind of before and after can do, then this is an option for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about generating a synthetic load, so you can use that load however you want. I mean, one of the great things you can use it with is with EdgeSight for Presentation Server. So you've got the monitoring capability of that sitting around. You hit your system with a synthetic load, and then you can start seeing how it's really going to behave when users appear. And you can track all of the metrics that you're interested in without actually ever having to have someone come along and do some typing.
All right, so we've talked about how we generate the load and how we make these scripts. I'm looking at the screen here. There's like 15 windows up, and I'm kind of watching different sessions. But I'm more interested in this sort of management console-looking interface that's right here. And this, I guess, is how I set up the tests or how I look at the results. Take me through this.
This is the controller, and this is the guy you use to build the test and to replay it, and it's the thing that collects the information and persists it to file and reports and stuff like that. So you can see from it that I've actually recorded a script, and it's like a visual thing on the left-hand side of the controller. And what I've also got is I got a bunch of users. I got 15 of them running on this one machine, and there's another 5 on another machine. And the idea is that you then, after you've recorded, you specify a load profile. Like in this case, I'm telling it to kind of ramp up to 20 users and then start going up and down so we can get some useful information. The idea being is that you can look then at your script and see how it's responding over the course of time. And you can see in this case that what's happening is as the user goes up, the user count goes up, our application is starting to struggle. And what TLoad, which is going to be now EdgeSight for load testing, is going to help you do is isolate where in that transaction you're having trouble. So at the moment, we can just see that the script is really slowing down. All these things have gone red saying, it's running 54 seconds or more slower. What you can do is you can drill in to the script itself and start making decisions about where the problems are lying. So we can see if we drill into the script that the connection and the disconnection from the box isn't really an issue, and we've got some real trouble in where we're actually playing with our application.
This is really cool. Just to kind of illustrate to people, I'm looking at a two-dimensional graph that has activities going or measurement points going down one axis and time going along the other axis, and then the squares are filled in green or red depending on how the different things are responding. So I guess you say it's much better than saying when I have 200 users, it's slow. But now you can specifically see, this is the exact step in the script that's slow when I get to those 200 users.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So what it's actually doing is it's constantly calculating the delay. So it's taking a record of the fastest it's ever run any of the steps, and then it's figuring out how fast it's currently going. And that way it can work out how much slower it's actually working. So then we program it with things which are called quality of service levels, and we can use that to trigger different colors in the cells so that when things are really starting to slow down, you can see the exact point where the problem is. So if I just go into my instructions, which is what it's doing on the server, and I drill down into the steps in the script, you can see that I can go all the way down into the individual points in the script. So just to kind of explain here, I've got folders here that are pertaining to various steps inside of my script, and there's one particular spot where I'm buying a ticket in my application that has all gone red, and it's basically saying to me, this is where your problem is. And you can actually use it to identify the exact step where things are slowing down.
That's actually cool for the application owners, too, because maybe it's their fault, not our fault.
That's right. I mean, if you look at what we've got running on here, and this is kind of cool, what you can show is if I click on some of the runtime data here, we've got a graph, and what you can see is that the user count is going up from 1 to 20. And as that happens, the application is really responding badly, and the time it's taking, in this case, to buy our railway ticket is going through the roof. But what you can see is that the CPU measurement that I've imported isn't troubled at all. So what that's telling us, it's not Citrix, it's the app, which is a question that is often quite hard to address.
Well, this is absolutely amazing. I mean, this is really, really cool. So the two next questions are, number one, how hard is this to use? I mean, if I get this product and you give me the CD, how long is it until I'm looking at this in my environment?
It's really quick to set up. I mean, it's basically record, replay. The thing is, because it's on the client side only, in its simplest form, it's a single client install. It literally takes 25 seconds to run through the wizard. The thing is installed. Then you don't have to go and mess with the servers. You don't have to install any software on them or anything like that. So pretty much, in the simplest case, you can get running, within a few minutes and get a very simple test up and running. then it all depends on the application that you're deciding to script against. Some applications are much harder to script against than others. So if you're kind of doing a basic log on, log off and playing around with a pretty simple static application, it's really quick. If you want to do something that's some hugely complex CRM system that the actual real users can't even use, then it's more difficult to make a virtual user do it.
All right, so my last question I'll ask you is, how do I get this? Is it built into Presentation Server Platinum? Do I buy EdgeSight? Can I buy this by itself? Or are you the wrong person to ask?
I think I'm probably the wrong person to ask at this point in time. I bet you if you got in touch with anybody's resellers, they'll eventually find the right place that you can get the software to have a play with it.
All right. Well, Ben, I will not take any more of your time, but I really appreciate you taking the time to show me this today.
It's been nice meeting you, Brian. Excellent.
This is Gabe Knuth, taking over for Brian for a little while, and I'm here with Joel Shepard from Citrix, talking about Citrix EdgeSight. Just this morning, they released a new version, Citrix EdgeSight version 4.5, right?
That's correct.
So can you talk a little bit about that and the improvements maybe that have been made?
Yeah. So what we have here is the new version is much more user-centric reporting than we had before. We were very device-centric prior to this release. So based on feedback from many customers, we've added over 40 user-centric reports. And these are all session-based reports, so people can understand what's going on inside a session for a user. So we're recording our published applications and what's going on with these published apps. If the published app is hanging or using too many resources, we can now identify this on a user level instead of just at the device level.
So is that at a published application level as well?
That is correct.
Because that wasn't there before, right? That's one of the new metrics that have been added for Presentation Server.
That's correct. So for 4.5, published applications have been added and are a big part of what we've added to 4.5 with the user reports because they all correlate together, right? You can't just have a published application without a user tied to that session. So we've been able to add that. One of the other great features, I think we've added two great new real-time features, which are the real-time dashboard, which we've designed as an at-a-glance view for customers to have what we expect to be in a network operations center type environment where they can set up their own servers with specific metrics and thresholds that work in their environment so they can quickly look and see if their presentation servers are healthy or not, right?
And this is where you see big, you see a green light for okay or a yellow light for not, warning and then a big red dot, right, for not okay?
That's correct. So we have thresholds set up. So if you're below 50% of the threshold, then you're always going to be in the green. As you start to approach and go beyond the 75% of the threshold, it'll go into orange and then red once you go up above the 90% threshold. And what we designed this to do is that we hope that when people see the orange flash up, that they start to get proactive in their environment and send their people in to figure out what's going on before the users start calling and saying that either they can't log into the presentation server, sessions are going slow, etc. So this is really what we've created this for, is to be a proactive type of tool for the CPS administrators.
Okay, great. Well, and that was also that we have real-time and for alerts as well, right? There's another console for that. Can you talk about that a little?
That's correct. So we also have, we still have all the alerts as we had before in the product, but now we've added a real-time, almost like a dashboard for that as well. And I'm showing it here right now to Gabe. And what it is it's just a flash-based object, and we have all the different type of alerts that we have now, but we have it now in a real-time flash where, again, we're hoping that people use this to be more proactive in their environment. So if you've got your alerts set up and say you're looking for specific network alerts and they start to go up and say you get above 40 or 50 alerts over a minute or 2 minute or an hour period, your people then know that they need to step up and be proactive about going in and drilling in to find out what's going on the presentation servers while there's still time and resources to do so before it gets out of control and their users are impacted heavily. One of the other great things about this is if you can slide back and forth in time.
Yeah, what we're looking at is a two-dimensional line graph with different colors representing the different types of alerts. So you'll be able to see at a real quick glance that, say, system alerts as red has 140 alerts going on at a certain period in time. The same goes for all the other types of alerts, too.
That's correct. And we also allow you to drill into some of these alerts. So you can go in, and then the lower chart will start to break down. We're looking at the lower section of this page, and it starts to break down what the alert types were and where they're coming from. So instead of just getting a global view of all the alerts, you can really drill in and see which particular alerts are firing and where you may need to go in and be proactive about taking care of your presentation servers.
Great. So you're not just relying on emails to come and tell you anymore.
That's correct. We've got away from just relying on email, and now we've given this as well as the dashboard, so real-time quick at a glance view. It can be in a knock, and there's no reading, there's anything. You can quickly look and say, okay, this is what's going on in my environment. We're okay, or we need to step up and take care of the situation that's going on at hand.
Great. There was another feature showing logon. You can monitor the logon process.
That's correct.
Can you go into that a little bit? Because I'm excited about that.
Okay, yep, I will. And actually, I have that report up. I'll pull it up in the tab we have here. So this is actually for a session startup, which is pretty much the same as the session logon type data. But we'll go through this piece of data here because I think it's pretty important, and we've seen a lot of clients here today who are very excited about this particular piece of data. And what we have is here on the top line, we're just looking at a reporting services report here, mostly text-based. But what you have here on the top line is really just, what we really want to look at is the average server startup time. Now, those particular pieces of data aren't all that exciting, but when we then go click down into what's going on inside this session startup, we can see all the different pieces that happen within a session and how it starts up. So we have the credentials, authentication, server duration, credentials, obtention, network server duration, credentials, obtention, server duration, PN classic credentials, obtention, server duration. And this is where we start to run into what a lot of clients have issues here is on the profile load and on the login script execution. Sure. We find a lot of clients, these two, along with this one, the printer creation, are where they see a lot of problems in the slowdown. And what we found out from some clients is they realize that their logon scripts that they're running are really very generic, and they're just applying them to everyone. So with this data, they can start to understand that they can make their logon scripts much more efficient, whether it be start creating them more for a group-based, or I wouldn't say individual users, but they can find ways now to make these session startups much faster, and especially in the logon area.
What we're actually seeing is that the logon script here, it's showing that it's actually taking 6.3 seconds to execute the logon script. What was the PLSD? We're actually seeing that it takes 3.2 seconds to load the profile. And then we also have SCSD over here, which I saw on some of the other ones, the session creation server duration. So, and that's a 1.1 second, which is actually lower than some of the ones that I've seen.
Exactly.
So this way you can actually go through and see each individual process during the logon process and see how long that takes. And then at least you know where to start looking.
Right, so, and you can be proactive and start breaking down that logon session duration and figure out where can we make it more efficient in the environment. Or maybe in fact that it's within the parameters that you set up when you architected your Citrix environment, and it's really you just need to go back to your users and change the expectation that they have, right? Because sometimes that's really what it is the expectation of the user at the other end of the pipe.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, wow, that's great. Are the counters that we see in EdgeSight, are they perfmont counters or WMI counters or anything like that, or are they something completely different?
Okay, Gabe, so all the counters that EdgeSight collects are neither WMI or perfmont. We inject a thread into every process, so we're a device driver product, and with that, we collect the data raw from every process. So we're just in the process collecting everything that's coming out. We're not relying on any external data to hand us what we're looking for. We take it all in, and then we massage the data on our own.
So that's why you have to reboot then after you install the agents, not just because there's a service and it needs to be started. You actually have to reboot because you're a driver?
That's correct, Gabe. We're a driver that runs at ring zero, and we force the reboot so then we can start injecting into every process, including when logon.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. All right, so how about licensing? Because that was a real pain in the neck before, just a real goofy method of actually licensing the boxes. Plus, on top of it, you had to have a dedicated Citrix licensing server on the box and that could only use EdgeSight licenses. You couldn't load your presentation server licenses on there. So what's changed in that regard?
Okay, Gabe, so that's correct. In the version 4.2, we did force people to have a local license server, and that caused a lot of pain for a lot of people. And we took a lot of pain and effort and this release to make sure that we work just like presentation server licensing. So now we allow a central license server, which we have our own licenses on, and we use the same CCU model as presentation server. An example of that would be if you have one user who comes in on one PC and starts up 10 sessions, that's only going to count for one license checkout. If they do it from 10 different machines, that's going to be 10 different licenses, just like you would do a presentation server. You're no longer tied to a license server on the EdgeSight server, and we hope that makes a lot of our clients much happier about that.
That's great to hear. Are there any other new features that you want to talk about?
Well, one thing I'd like to mention is that between the 4.2 version and the 4.5 version, we've reduced it down from close to 20% in 4.2 to below 9%. They're able to now get more sessions on the same server with EdgeSight on there than they could even just a month ago.
I had heard that there was quite an impact. I heard one number of somebody's personal experience was that they could get 3% less users, I think, or no, 10% less users on their server, and it ended up being 3 users less after they loaded EdgeSight. And they were okay with that, but still, that's a pretty significant impact when you get up to, you know, 50 people a server.
That's correct. And we worked really hard on this release to make sure that the impact was at least what we were expected to be, which was 10% was our goal, but we got down to about 8.9% on a heavily loaded presentation server.
Wow, that's great. One last thing, then, 64-bit, that's supported across the board now?
We support 64-bit agent and server now as well.
Okay, great. And presentation server, right?
So. Even the server console. So you can install the EdgeSight server console on a 64-bit server if you want to as well.
Oh, great. Okay.
That's correct.
Oh, and Vista support is in there
That
now,
is
right?
correct. Vista okay. support for the endpoint is in there now as well.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you showing me through this. And
thanks, Gabe. I appreciate you and Brian coming by the pod.
Okay, well, I'm here with Tim Mackey from Citrix, formerly Reflectant, and we're talking a little bit about Citrix EdgeSight for Netscaler. This is a relatively new product to me, and I think it was only released not too long ago. I saw certain links for it start popping up on the Citrix website and support documents and so on, but that was maybe in late March that I started seeing them. So is that about right for a time frame?
That is about right for a time frame. We're in a control availability phase at this point, and we're due to get ourselves out of that in the next couple months or so. And it's the 1.0 of the product, so we're getting everybody up to speed on exactly what it is, what it does, how it compares with EdgeCypher Presentation Server and endpoints, and what it does differently. And it's basically a familiarity deal.
Okay, great. Well, so there is no client side to this, right?
Correct. This is an agentless solution for monitoring the end user's experience with the HTML web content served up in a Netscaler 8.0 environment.
I think they mentioned in the presentation today that it uses HTML scripts or client-side scripting, that kind of thing. The actual Netscaler box will send that out?
This is correct. What it does is it injects a piece of approximately 2K that contains all of the measurement script. It also contains some Netscaler metrics around time of first packet, time of last packet for the various aspects of the Netscaler, sending it off to the origin infrastructure, receiving the response back, that sort of thing. So we can determine the benefit of the Netscaler in the environment, how much of an improvement it made to the overall end user experience in terms of what features it may have had on, such as the caching or compression, SSL offload, that kind of feature set. We're able to then take that JavaScript piece, it executes at the end user's browser, it's browser neutral, extremely lightweight. We had a design objective of getting it under 100 milliseconds, and it's typically around 25 milliseconds of overhead.
Wow.
Most end users don't even notice it. That doesn't even give enough time to pop up in the status bar that it's downloading anything or that it's communicating with the EdgeSight server. Then communicates with the EdgeSight server that performance data, and only performance data, around the length of time it took the HTML on the page to load and the length of time it took the entire page to render, and also how long the user spent on the page, so we can get some very basic high-level metrics around the overall experience an end user saw, not identifying an end user, but seeing them in the aggregate, so we can get down to specific browser types and what the performance was broken down by browser, by sub-application, that sort of thing, and be able to see if that trended over time, looking at, say, the last 24 hours. Was there a spike, network surge? Was it coming from a specific browser type? What was the overall impact or overall experience felt by users of a specific browser type, that sort of thing?
Kind of like Google Analytics on steroids then, huh? Because they drop that little Java snippet in there too, don't they?
True, and in the case of Google Analytics, it's basically saying you're here, but this is what the performance was. And so everybody's experienced a slow website at some point in time, but they've never communicated that information back, or extremely rarely communicated that information back with the site operator. Now the site operator has the opportunity to see what the performance is overall without going and doing analysis of web logs and guesstimates of overall performance. There's nothing synthetic about our measurements. It is completely end-user-driven data. There's absolutely nothing that you install on the infrastructure. There's absolutely nothing that you install on the end-user's computer. There's nothing that you install on the Netscaler. It ships with the Netscaler. The only thing you install is the EdgeCypher Netscaler server to collect the data and report on it. And the only thing that you configure is the Netscaler to enable the feature and that sort of thing.
So is the EdgeCypher Netscaler server separate from the Citrix, you know, the regular EdgeSight server, or can they coexist in the same box, or is it the exact same thing?
The completely separate servers. The EdgeCypher Presentation Server, or EdgeCypher Endpoint Server, is somewhat bursty in how it handles its data. You have periodic uploads, once a day, twice a day, or some other schedule-based thing. The EdgeCypher Netscaler Server is a public-facing server designed to collect data from thousands of concurrent users, and so it's a very hot web server in terms of inbound traffic.
Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think I'm all set with that.
All right, great. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
thanks again to all the guests for taking the time to talk to me. Thank you for listening. I'd like to remind you that this show is copyright 2007 by the Brian Madden Company. Visit www.brianmadden.com/live for all of our latest shows. Thanks again.